Greetings to each of you this morning. We have a whole full house. It's a blessing to see y'all here. The title of my message this morning is Change, Please. What kind of a mental picture do you get with those two words put together? What inspired that was actually walking the streets and seeing people many times in rather ragged condition, possibly a sign attached of some hopeless story of life's injustice, asking for money. And I want you to turn with me to Acts 3. We have the account of somebody here that was doing this very same thing. And many times when we look at an account like this, our minds first identify with the person that helped. But I'm asking you this morning, place yourself in the box of the beggar, of the person that needed help. Now, many times in life, we're like that beggar. We as humans are reaching out. We're saying, I need this to make my life better. But when God takes us on his journey, he gives us something totally different. He says no to the thing we ask for, and he gives us something totally different. And he makes our life better for his glory. We're going to read Acts 3, verses 1 to 10 at this time. Acts 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that are entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. As we develop the message this morning, we're actually going to be using the same phrase, change please, in a couple of different contexts. I'll try to make it clear as I'm switching context. But I don't feel like I have myself totally collected. But by the grace of God, we'll share what he has laid on my heart. Okay, I've divided the message into six different sections. And the first one, I say change, please. Again, I said, put yourselves in the shoes of this man laying at the gate of the temple. He's helpless. He had to be carried there. He couldn't even walk there on his own. He depended on friends just to get him to where he could beg. You know, people, that's you and I, were it not for God. Were it not for the work of God in our lives, that's you and I. We're totally helpless. Can't even get ourselves to the place where we can beg for the things we need. I say, change, please. The lame man was here asking for things to better his physical condition. He was looking for money so that he could purchase food. Maybe medicines, I don't know. But things to better his physical condition. And instead, God had a different plan for him. He didn't get one piece of change, but he got change. Now, if you can follow me with that, he did not get one piece of money, but God had a change in store for his life that he didn't even dream of when he got out of bed that morning. So many times we ask for change thinking to better our condition. And life kind of goes through cycles. We have cycles in life where we want change. You know, the four-year-old is getting excited because now they can go to Sunday school. That's wonderful change. Then at 6 years old, they can go to school, or whatever these ages are in your case. After a while, it's 15 years old. I can join the youth. Just think what that would be like. 16, I can drive. 18, I can date. 21, some people look to the number 21 as independence. We look for these changes with anticipation, with excitement. As a child, you anticipate each birthday that comes along. But there comes a stage in life when you say, almost say within yourself, not another birthday. That just means I'm a year older than I was. Just another reminder that I'm getting old. And that's my second main point. I say, no change, please. Because sometimes in our eras in life, we get ourselves comfortable and we say, this is what I want. I worked hard for this. I have it. This feels good. This is what I want. And moving right along, many times, the third main point of the message, that's when God comes through and says, change, please. So God says, change, please. That's the third point here. As we look at the story in verse 6, we have this beggar holding up his cup or whatever he had, saying, change, please. And we have God saying, I am giving you a change. The beggar had one thing in mind. God had another thing in mind. And in this case, I don't think it took very long for the beggar to see the advantage for him in what God had for him. I'm sure right at the expression of those words, silver and gold have I none, there was a sinking feeling in his heart, but not for long. Pretty soon he was walking and leaping. I have this section broken down into sub-points. First one, silver and gold have I none. Going on to the second one, rise up and walk. Sometimes, when we're riding along comfortably, God comes along to us. He says, rise up. Rise up. There's something else. I have something more in store for you than this. And many times, we're not quite as ready to accept it as this beggar was to accept the healing for his legs. Many times it takes us through a journey where I don't want to tread on territory we did a couple weeks ago here in the message, I can't, but oftentimes it's that journey that says, you know, I can't do this, God. What are you thinking? What are you asking? This is way beyond me. But then the third sub-point under God says, change, please. And I find this in verse 12. In the middle of the verse, Peter says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? God gives us power. God gives us power. When he asks for something, He gives us power to go through it in holiness. We don't need to fight against what God asks. It does not do us any good to fight against what God asks. Because as we accept it, God gives us power. And He gives us a holiness that blesses our lives beyond our imagination. This beggar, as he accepted the change, being able to walk, I'm reminded of a couple conversations I've had in the recent past of people with pending change in their lives. They knew there was something on the horizon. Weren't sure where all it was going to go. Maybe they even knew it was better change, but it looked somewhat fearful because it was different than what they were accustomed to. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised that this beggar experienced that very same thing. The only thing he knew how to do to put bread and butter on the table, he was this way from his mother's womb, it says. The only thing he knew how to do to get bread and butter on the table was to beg. Now this is all changing. Now he has a physical strength that he needs to work. He needs to develop an occupation. He needs to go out into life in a fashion that the rest of the world looked on as normal. But to him, it was not normal. It was new and strange. That's what happens when God calls. Inside of us, there is something. Sometimes it's twofold. There's an excitement at seeing what God's doing, and there's trepidation at what this all means for me. That brings me to my next fourth subpoint here. We deny or accept the change. As God says, change please, we deny or accept that change. God has a plan. And I think many times as I look at this, God saying, change please, we looking at it and being fearful of it. It's kind of like a puzzle. You take a 1,000-piece puzzle. It's in the box. You pick one piece out. You have no idea if it belongs on this side or this side, the top, the bottom, the middle. Unless, of course, it has a corner on it or something that gives you an idea. But as God looks at the grand scheme of things, He already sees all those pieces fitting together. So why would we deny His request for change? He already sees it. He sees how it fits together. He sees that it does fit together. He sees that it will be a beautiful picture in the end that we have no idea of. Does that mean it's going to be easy? Not necessarily. But again, He gives us power. And as we accept His plan, it works. It brings glory to Him and blessing to us. The fifth subpoint I have here, thinking of the power that we get, the changes that we're being asked to get, do, it can happen because of Jesus. It's through Jesus. You know, Jesus is our role model. And that's what Peter pointed these people back to. Back here in verse 12. Just reading beyond the verses we read already. I'm just going to read the next couple of verses. We touched on most of verse 12. Verse 13, The God of Abraham and of Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And he goes on to acknowledge that there was ignorance involved in all this. But he says it's Jesus. It is Jesus that made all this possible. If it were not for Jesus, this man would not be walking today. And that's my testimony today for myself. If it were not for Jesus, I would not be here today. The next subpoint here, I'm pulling this out of verse 19. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." That's the middle of the sentence. But he speaks of repentance. We need to repent. We look at that as something that we did back there when we accepted Christ. And yes, glory to God, we did. But you know, we talked of this battle that goes on in our lives by times. It's a normal part of a life in the flesh. But we need to, so many times we need to look back on that and say, God, I was resisting what you had for me. I repent. Forgive me. And I want to say that this repentance thing is not a once and done. It is a normal part of the life of victory. Just to lay things at the foot of the cross, say, God, here it is. I'm sorry. Take me on. Without repentance, we don't receive the blessings of the changes that come into our lives. You know, there are things that God asks us to do, and sometimes we will do them. We'll outwardly comply. But inwardly, we're still grappling with it. We're still fighting with it. We're still struggling against it. And we miss the blessing. So I'm going to say, I was going to move my next point, but we're going to give it now. Verses 25 and 26. I'm going to read them. "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." We see the word bless and blessing a couple of times in those two verses. You know, as we accept God's changes, we receive eternal blessing. And that is the next subpoint. As we accept God's changes, we receive eternal blessing. We receive blessing here in this life. And we receive blessing in the life to come. We can look at many natural situations in life, but they really don't hold a candle to what we're talking about here. We can look at a promotion on a job for doing our part as an employee, being a good employee. We received a blessing for what we did, but we also received more headache. And it's temporary. It's just while we're here on this earth. But God's blessing goes far beyond that. Okay, for the next main point of the message, or the next several, we're going to turn to Malachi 3. Turn with me to Malachi 3. We're going to break in at verse 6, Malachi 3, verse 6, and read to the end of the chapter. Reads like this, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, What have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, It is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." Verse 6 here brings out the fourth main point of the message. God says, I change not. This is a rather simple statement, but it's profound in its implication. Looking at the last couple of sections that we looked at here, if one day God asked me to make change, a radical change in my life, and I knew that God was a changing God, I would have reason to fear moving forward with him. Humanly speaking. But God does not change. You know what God asked you to do yesterday, a week ago, 6 months ago, a year ago? I don't know where the turning points are in your life, a couple years ago. What God asked you to do then, or is about to ask you to do next week or the weeks ahead, this is not a new thought that God came up with. God does not change. This was part of his plan for you all along. This was part of his plan for you when you said yes to God. I come in repentance. I claim your sanctification. I claim your cleansing on my life. And I give my heart to you. God had all that in mind then already. God does not change. This is not a new idea for God. Okay. The fifth section of the message here, we're going to look at some things God is asking of us. And when we bring this down to practical terms, it can vary so much between each of the individuals listed here. But there are some things that God asks of all of us. Interestingly enough, verse 8 and 9 and forward, God asks your money. That goes right in the face of the picture of me as that beggar holding out my cup and saying, God, change please for me. God is saying, that change, that money, whatever you receive, is mine. I want you to use it for my glory. You know, all of a sudden, that puts into a different light. Do I need a newer model pickup or don't I? Do I need to do this in my house or don't I? Do I need this on my dress or don't I? Do I need that brand of jeans or don't I? You know, when we realize that even the very contents of our billfolds or bank accounts is God's, it will change the way I think. God speaks out very strongly against the Israelites here for withholding their tithes and offerings. Today, God asks us to give as the Lord has prospered us. It's pretty easy to mark off a certain amount and say, this is God's, the rest is mine. But God today is asking us to give as the Lord has prospered us. What other changes, what other things is God asking of us? Verses 13 to 15, I've summed that up by saying our hearts. And as I break that down, I'm seeing here in these verses our words, you know, the words that we speak. I'm seeing attitudes. The attitude expressed here is horrible. But have I ever done that? Yeah, that's a sobering question. To me, that's a reality jerker. And the other thing I'm seeing here, as we give him our hearts, we give him, actually, he gives us joy. The change that God is asking of us may be challenging. It may be difficult. It may be something that does not feel comfortable. But he gives us joy. As we open our hearts, as we just pour ourselves out before him. Verses 16 and 17, I'm going to read them again. Such a beautiful picture. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. God wants our commitment. And that's what I see happening here. Our commitment. Here, we have people that are sharing together because of their commitment to God. They're encouraging each other on. They're saying, brother, sister, I know this change looks daunting, looks hard, but stick it out. Stick it out. God is with you. God wants to give you the grace and strength to make this all work. Look, he's offering it to you. We're here to help. We're here to encourage. To me, that's so beautiful. It's a blessing that we take for granted, and yet so many people today know nothing of it. They don't have a church family that stands by them. They don't have family that stands by them. Or even worse, they have people around them that are working against them. I encourage you people. So many of you have known nothing other than this blessing of fellowship, of encouragement. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. Make sure you return it to others, that encouragement, that fellowship. Our commitment. And then, not directly referred to, but I see part of this as, and that's my next sub-point, our worship. You know, as we gather together and worship God, it does something for our hearts that nothing else can. It allows us to claim that grace and strength. It builds that holiness that we talked about earlier. Do you ever somebody tell you, you look like saints? I hope so, because you are saints by the grace of God. There is a holiness. As people follow God, there is a holiness that others can see. They can witness, they can feel. My next sub-point is our thoughts. Verse 16 here, they're talking about the Lord. It's what their thoughts centered on. Their thoughts were drawn to God. And here's a little challenge for me. I just share it. When you have free time in your life, where do your thoughts go? That reveals a little about my thought life. And it reveals growth that I need to experience. Because there's times where my thoughts go places I really would not want to share. By the grace of God, that can grow. By the grace of God, those thoughts can more and more turn to Him. Okay. The sixth main point of the message is the results of change for God. And we touched some on verse 17 already. These thoughts are coming from 17 and 18. Verse 17, he said, I will spare them, I will make up my jewels. Verse 18 says, then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Here we have just summed up the difference between a relationship with God and not. So the results of change is a lifelong difference. It gives us a relationship with God. He says here, he will make up his jewels. God has souls that he treasures. There's already a relationship there. There's blessings there. There's fellowship there. Companionship. And he says he's going to spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? We focused earlier in the message on the changes that we face in earth and how we have to walk through them, how we need God's help to get through them. But you know, someday, that's going to be over. And we're going to face this change we're talking about right here. We'll be God's jewels. He will take us with him. I can't fathom that. I can't fathom the depth of that. I can't fathom why God would take us as humans that he had to clean up and claim them as his jewels. But he does. He does. What a blessing. Looking at verses 16 and 17 a little bit, another result of change. I'm going to sum it up stability. And that's ironic. As we change, as God wants us to, we find stability. We go around the next corner and God asks us to change, we find stability. But look at verses 16 and 17 again. We're seeing people fellowshipping in a world where there's instability, where there's, look at the couple of verses before yet too, where there's people that are out against God, that are have nothing good for you, have, you know what? There's change there too. And it is not a stable change. But as we follow God, we can feel stability in the midst of the changes that he asks of us. And my final thought in here, going back to that puzzle, God sees the whole picture. As we go through these changes, sometimes we wonder, we ask why. But you know, someday the impact of the changes we made on our lives, the impact on God's kingdom, will be so obvious that we'll look back, we'll hold up our cups to God, and we'll say, change, please. We will not be asking for money. We'll be asking for God's finger on our lives, and we'll thank him for the change that he gave us. We'll thank him that he did not give us what we were looking for, but he gave us what he had in store for us as the best in our lives. God bless you as you go forth from here. Allow God to work in your lives and give him that glorious change that only he can give. Let's kneel for prayer.